So, you know what? I'm okay with us getting started a little bit early. Are you okay? I
Why
think this is going to
not?
be fun. I think this is going to be super fun.
Yeah, and
So,
it's CCB. What's in it for me?
yeah. So we ask ourselves these questions, and you know, we keep talking about this at lots and lots of meetings. Like, we need the why. So Guillermo and I thought, why don't we ask why? And so Guillermo's going to pose a few different questions here, and we want our audience to participate.
So often I have sighted people come to me and ask, I really have heard you talk about CCB and I want to help, but what's in it for me if I do? So the question is, what's in it for you? Why are you in CCB? What gets you motivated to be a member of CCB? So that's the first question we have. And also, if you could basically give one word as to what CCB has meant to you, we want to hear what that is as well.
So,
Okay.
Greg, do we have any hands?
We don't have Greg now. We have me for a while.
Ah, hey, Deb.
Hey, and I'm also my other PC is a little locked up. So at some point when we take a little break, I'm going to shift things around a little, just so you know. We do have some hands though. Hold on while I get to them. I had to change my location. It looks like a phone number ending in 704.
Phone number ending in 704.
Star six. Yeah, that's definitely the right. I'm going to ask for one. Going to ask for Regina Marie as well.
Star 6 for the number ending in
Got
704.
Regina Marie.
Oh, hey, Regina.
I've got it. Is
Yes.
Jean? Okay, good. I let's see. Well, I believe I was really blessed with a family that advocated for me when I was a little girl. And my parents were great advocates. So I was super blessed to grow up and to be taught advocacy from the time I couldn't even say the word. So I feel that my involvement with CCB and ACB is a way to give back the blessings and that I was so fortunate to have. My parents were really forward thinking, and they said she whatever she sets her mind to, it's just maybe a different way than a sighted person. And my mom also told me something, you're no better than anyone else, but you're also no less than anyone else. A very empowering statement from a little girl. So the one word I think I would use is community that describes CCB to me.
Awesome.
Christy?
This is Christy Crespin, and I have a story. My godmother and my mother advocated with me and for me. I actually have several stories of advocacy growing up, but my godmother and my mother fought for me to go to a school near my house instead of traveling over 45 minutes to an hour and a half every day up and back on the bus. So I went to my high school near my house when I didn't really need the resource program when I was a senior. I only needed it like once a week. And so my family helped me advocate to use it at my own discretion. And so when I came to the CCB, it was a natural progression of continuing my advocacy. I can't choose one word. I'm going to have to say family, because I love all of you guys. Advocacy, because that's what we do. And education, because that's also what we do. Thank you.
Those are really good words.
Okay, I don't have any hands right now. Oh, but I do. Sometimes when I do that, that gets me a hand. So phone number. There you go.
Hello, everyone. This is Pam Paul G., president of San Gabriel Valley Chapter. And, you know, St. Francis of Assisi, in his wise words and wisdom, said to everyone, go forth and preach the gospel and walk the gospel, and when necessary, use words. And I've kind of used that as my mantra in educating the public about our blindness and our capabilities and our desire to be independent and to be part of the sighted community. Is certainly we need to speak with people, but also we need to be an example in how we get around, how we interact with people, the groups that we join, the advocacies that we can speak to, the sighted community that we've done, and the purpose of our ACB and CCB, especially when we're raising funds. And I was learned about advocacy when my twin sister and I lived in the school district that we went to grade school. And because we lived in the district, the person at the schools wanted my mom to walk us to school. And, you know, my twin sister and I both being blind, my mom said, well, that'd be fine and good, but if I'm ill, how am I going to walk them to school? So my mom advocated, even by going as far up the ladder to Sacramento, and we live down here in Southern California, she advocated to get the regular school bus to deviate from the route to come and pick us up every day so that we would be independent, be able to go to school whether she was available to us or not. Thank you so very much.
Great. Any other questions?
Not right this moment.
Sarah?
Say, how about anybody on our panel? Anybody on our panel?
I do have one hand now, if you'd like to do that.
Oh. Yeah, let's do that hand, and then we'll write our
panel. Sure. That's Lorene.
Hello. I'm Lorene, and I didn't get diagnosed with visually impaired problems till I was 32, and now I'm 56. And so I basically had to be an advocate for myself from an early age, because nobody knew even myself that I was visually impaired, because I had, you know, really good language skills, but struggled in most vision oriented things, especially math. And basically I learned to just be stubborn. You know, sometimes I was considered a problem or whatever, but I wouldn't give up. And I would always take risks, you know, and try different things and see what they worked and kind of adapt, make things work before I got services, but doing a lot better with services. So it's just like trying new things and seeking things out and be willing to make mistakes and keep going.
So what's one thing that keeps you going in your journey with CCB?
Well, just the inspiration from others, you know, and learning new techniques and ways people live in the world, you know, all different abilities and all different talents. And, you know, just the support and the friendships that I've built.
Great.
Oh, that's beautiful. I love that support and friendship.
I do have another hand. Would you like that now, or?
Sure.
That's Penny.
Go ahead, Penny.
Okay. CCB is like opening up my eyes. That's what they've done for me. I've grown up visually impaired, legally blind all my life around everybody that was sighted.
I didn't know what I could do and as much as I could do until I really got involved with CCB. I now advocate. I've started a scholarship with our chapter. We mentor with ILC for OIB people. I have just learned so much. And I consider CCB my family. My family, my community. It has made me just open up all over. I'm a whole different person than I was, say, 10, 20 years ago.
Okay.
Great. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Any other hands?
Oh, let's see. No.
What about from the panelist side?
Well, I know Regina said the word that I thought of community earlier, but I'm going to repeat it here because we definitely are a community. And then Christy said family, which is definitely, you know, a big piece of it as well.
Especially in these times that we're in, it's just people have shown a real sense of community and family. So I think if there was a real time to show that, it's been this year.
Definitely, definitely. And, you know, and for me, you know, CCB, it means so many different things. If it wasn't for CCB, you know, I'd still be, I really believe I'd still be what I call the domestic goddess. You know, I wasn't a homemaker, I was a domestic goddess. But CCB really gave me back my confidence and sense of self-worth to get back out there and, you know, volunteer, get a job, you know, do all those great things. And, you know, and that's what, you know, continues to make me give back personally. What about you, Guillermo?
Yeah, I would have to say that the amount of resources that each one of us brings to the table and the fact that we don't have to reach far in order to get the help that we need or the support that we need. Even if it's something that may seem so trivial, we have so many areas of talent and ability within this group that it's, I feel like some of it could be used a lot more. And I just, the willingness of our membership just to step up and lend a hand is amazing. And it really speaks to the community piece that, you know, has been talked about here. And that's what drives me and motivates me to stay involved and be involved.
This is Gabe. Could I jump in here?
Sure.
All right. Sorry, I was not at a spot where I could hit the unmute button when you were calling if any of the panelists wanted to talk. For me, it's CCB has given me kind of a sense of purpose, I guess. I grew up never knowing what I wanted to do, but knowing that I wanted to do something working with people. And just the friendships that I've developed during my time in CCB are amazing. And I don't think I could think of two better words than community and family to describe CCB that, like what you were saying, Guillermo, anytime that I have a question or an issue, or even if somebody comes to me with some kind of question, if I don't know the answer, just having all the resources in this organization to be able to say, you know what, I don't know this, but I bet I know somebody that does. And kind of a funny story real quick here is a couple of weeks ago, my stepmother called me from my dad's cell phone because she's going, my blankety blank phone keeps talking on this voice that you use and how did it get turned on? And I didn't know the command on the, would she have like an 11 or whatever iPhone. And so I called Guillermo. I'm like, Guillermo, what phone do you have? And what's the command on that to turn voiceover off when you don't have the home button. So, he was able to tell me, like, call her back, and she was like, oh, thank God. So, you know, just even things like that, that, you know, maybe even our family members come up with that we don't know. So, it's a beautiful thing.
Yeah, it's just, like I said, there's nothing too small that's, you know, that we can't help with. And it's just that willingness that people have that's always so amazing.
You don't have any hands right now.
Come on, people.
You're
having
shy.
Lunch. They're taking lunch.
Don't be shy. Put down your burger.
It's like Chris Gray said last night. Come on, guys. We've never known CCB members to be shy.
Yeah, don't be shy. We really want to know. We want to hear from all of you.
Larry.
You know. Oh, there
except,
we go.
Except me.
Not him.
So you see what all of you folks are doing? You're allowing me to talk. That is a bad thing to do.
Okay, where's the mute button?
Come on, people, step up. I will tell you this. It's interesting, in my life of 66 years, I've been a barbershopper and still am, have been for 48 years. I'm very much involved in my church, and I always thought it was kind of cool if I would be involved in one incredible super organization. My barbershopping life actually had that happen, and I thought, I'm around some incredibly special people. Most people never, ever experienced that. Then I got to my church and found out how incredibly special they are and welcoming, and then I got to CCB late in life. Well, later in life than most of you. Not all of you, but most of you. And I've experienced it again, so that's three times for me. As I said, people sometimes never experience this. It's a very inclusive organization. It's people who look out for each other. It's people, if you have a problem or can't figure out something, you know you can call somebody and get an answer to your question. And that's what's in it for me when I think of CCB.
And what I want to say to you, Larry, is as much as you and I love to go back and forth and give each other a bad time.
That's only public.
I say better late than never in coming to CCB. We are glad you're here.
Thank you.
Great. Yeah.
All right. We have Cody.
Cody, go ahead.
Well, hi, it's Cody. I just want to, you know, say that I'm somewhat of a recent member to CCB. I was a member of NFB several years ago, and coming to CCB, I just feel that there's more of a community here. And just if you don't know anything or you need an answer to somebody, you have your, you know, members of the council to go to and ask. So it's truly been a great for me to get involved with CCB and, you know, be a part of Golden State Goddeck Handlers. And then also I'm a member of the Contra Costa chapter as their secretary. So it's truly been an awesome time here, and I'm glad to be part of CCB. Thank you.
Awesome. Thank you. We're glad you're with us. So what was it that made you make the switch?
I think it was just, you know, philosophy, you know, just being more open and, you know, you know, it, you know, if, you know, NFB, you know, if you don't say that you're blind, you're not accepting your blindness. And that's just, I'm visually impaired. I have some eyesight, and I just didn't believe in that. So I'm like, you know, I just needed to explore other options, and CCB is where I landed, and this is from where I'm at, and I'm glad for it, because, you know, you guys want everyone. So, which I'm very grateful for.
Great.
All right. The person on the 650 area code. Yeah, you're right
there.
There you are, Roger.
This is Roger. I wanted to point out a couple things that I've done a lot of volunteering and stuff, but the thing that occurred to me to mention is that I've discovered that one of the ways that I've been able to get well into cross-disability environments is that if you get along well enough with each other and there's enough trust, there's often a chance to be symbiotic. In other words, a couple of times I've been asked to back out someone's car for them. And that worked, actually. I know enough about car controls that I can work them, and with the guy, the wheelchair user guy who drives the car, sitting out there telling me what to do, I backed it out. It was in a place where he couldn't get to it in his wheelchair. And those things happen occasionally, and they intensify the relationships among people with different disabilities.
That's really good to hear.
Okay.
I'm available to back up people's cars.
Yeah. All right. I just hit something here. Let's have Vita.
Go ahead.
Hi. Yeah. I echo a lot of the things that have been said, and to add that one of the great things about being part of CCB is that you don't have to explain yourself when you're talking about blindness. So I work in a sighted community. I do all my errands and lots of sighted people. But when I come into this community, I don't have to explain myself. I can call Guillermo. I can call Alice. I can call Regina and say, I've had a bad day. And because blah, blah, blah. And they'll know right away. Oh, yeah, I know what that's like. So I would say belonging is a good word.
That's a great word, Vita.
All right, let's see.
Did we do Sarah? I haven't heard her for a minute.
We don't.
Yeah, I spoke.
There you are.
We don't have any additional hands right now.
Well, great.
We just got one.
Oh,
see, there we go.
It always works when I do that. All right.
Who do we have?
Nicolette?
Nikki.
Yeah.
Nikki.
Doesn't say that.
I've been a member of CCB for many, many years. I think, I don't know, somewhere maybe around 2000. And the camaraderie, the friendship, the lifelong friends that I've made, the things that we've been doing, advocating, educating, and just being like a family. And I have to tell you what happened last night. I didn't know about the connection between Gabe and HumanWare. And when he said what he did about it, as saying he didn't know anything about it, I right after the whole thing was over, I sent an email to Larry, and then I called David. I said, what's going to happen? Are they not going to be a sponsor anymore when they hear that in the recording? And I was told by both of them that Gabe has worked for them for many years, and it was a very funny moment, and it was a joke. But I thought, oh, here, I put my foot in it again. Anyway, but it is. There's a lot of humor. There's a lot of laughing, a lot of friendship, and just lifelong friends and working together and achieving things and you know, making differences and educating the public. One example that I had many years ago, my granddaughter is almost 18 now. She and I have the same birthday. But when she was in third grade, we took a bunch of people from the Lighthouse, including a guide dog, to her third grade class. And the school divided the third grade into there were three of them and divided them into two different classrooms. And the principal, whom I know very well because I was an advocate in the school as well, it was a Spanish immersion school and the kids were all learning in Spanish. So anyway, she said, well, you know, we'll give you about 20 minutes. We think, you know, that'll be enough time for them to ask all their questions. Well, an hour and a half later, we were still there. They were still asking questions. And we finally had to quit because it was their lunchtime. But that's one of the things that I feel is very important. And Ellie Lee is working in the schools. And I think that one way to educate the public is to start with the children, because they were, one kid said, well, this might be a stupid question. And I said, well, I'm going to interrupt you before you even ask it. There's no such thing as a stupid question. I said, you guys are all curious. You're at an age where you're going to ask the questions that are important. And they did. And they were fascinated. And they learned a lot that day. And I tried to get the Lighthouse to make that a regular thing, but I wasn't successful. But at any rate, that's where we need to start. We need to start with the children, but we also need to educate people as we go, because people don't understand. They really don't. And I've been in situations where people will grab people, they'll grab their canes, and it's because of ignorance. They do want to help, but they just don't understand. So, you know, maybe we could do public service announcements, or I don't know, but just any way to educate the public and give them an idea on what they should and shouldn't do. Quite a few years ago, I went on a cruise. It was a guide dog cruise, and it was a Princess Lines out of San Francisco. They sent a flyer to in every person's cabin. There was a flyer as to how there were 25 dogs and they had their relieving areas up front, and they explained how to deal with dogs. And it was very informative, and people, there were about 1500 people on board, and they all got involved, and it was a wonderful experience for people. And they said, I never knew any of these things before. I was always ignorant. I was always afraid to approach a blind person because they didn't know how. And so it was a real education. So we just need to be doing more things like that too. And just educating the public, you know. Anyway, thank you very much. Sorry to talk so long. That's it.
Thank you. Thank you so much. We are at 12:30. I don't know. It seems like we are ahead of schedule. So I'm going to turn this back over to Sarah.
Ah, awesome. And Deb, did we have any other hymns?
We do not.
All right. So as Gabe said earlier, just want to remind you guys about the elections tonight, and you should have received an email or a phone call giving you your specific phone number to call. If you missed that or did not receive it, please take a minute, call Nicole in the office, and she can help you out with that. So we'll interrupt our CCB with Dinner for Me. And does anybody here have any big announcements that they want to share, either from the panel or out there in the audience?
Bob Acosta.
Ah, Bob Acosta. Or you could tell us what's in it for you.
I'll be brief, but I want to say one phrase that I hate. Can you hear me?
We can hear you loud and clear.
I hate that phrase. I go to look at things and I will say, no, I can't hear you. Keep it up. But I really can't because I'm hard of hearing. I want to say a couple of things. If you got 3 hours, I can talk about CCB, this California Council of the Blind. It's great. But I want to say to Sheila, she asked the question in another time, do we have to keep educating? How long? I say, yes. And we must be forever vigilant, because whatever we have, whatever we enjoy in, you know, civically and so forth, if there's such a word, can be taken away. I remember well the battle over APSB. We were ahead of the country, where a kid could go to college, he could buy a Braille note, and it didn't count against him, and so forth. And Willie Brown wanted to take it, our speaker. And our guys didn't believe it. They said, they'll never take it away. This is here to stay forever. Well, we lost it. We got a lot of it back in SSI and all that. But you cannot make assumptions. So follow up, I think was said in one of the panels. And that's true. We must be vigilant. And finally, I want to say this. The CCB allows all of us to be normal people who cannot see. Thank you.
Thank you, Bob.
All right. Next, we have a phone in the 760 area code. There you go.
Hi, everyone. My name is Linda Samolsky, and I missed out on the discussion because you guys had it earlier, and I went to have lunch.
We're continuing, Linda. You're good. Don't worry.
Okay. Well, first of all, I wanted to say what a wonderful discussion we had last night about the history of CCB. That brought back so many memories. I've been in and out of CCB for quite a while just because of life circumstances and work and, you know, blah, blah. But for now, since I've retired, what CCB has brought to me, I've been in this blindness field forever. I worked for a guide dog school. And I taught life skills in a center, and I've advocated and all that stuff. And I'm older. And so now what CCB brings to me is a lot of renewed friendships, new and old, older. And the other thing is that, I have found myself in my retirement, giving back to my family, and that's wonderful, but I need something also to do to be in service to help the blind community because I'm a part of it. And I feel that we all should be giving what we can as far as helping each other and helping to advocate for the things that we need. And as far as I heard the call about when Sheila asked, when do we stop educating? And I don't think we stop educating until everyone, not only in the blind community, but when we have a kind of a utopic world where everyone can live together in peace and harmony. I think our education just needs to go on and on and on until we're at a point where we're living well. So those are my thoughts.
All right.
Thank you, Linda.
Sarah, this is Judy. Could I pop in?
Oh, we'd love to have you pop in. Pop on in.
I want to, again, go back to Sheila's comment from this morning, because it seems so hard sometimes when we say, how many times do we have to tell people? And I've been in this organization since 1962. And the truth is, when you meet somebody at a store or on the street who's never met a blind person, it's not 50 years. It's the very first time. And we must always remember, I used to say this to my students, you have to remember that you are thinking this often for the first time. So we must remember that when we meet people, it's often their very first experience with a blind person. And that is an honor to be able to enlighten somebody. So I'm going to stop preaching, but that's why I'm still here these 60 years later.
Christy?
Okay, I have a comment and then I want to make my announcement because you gave us permission. So my daughter, Paula, and my son, Michael, grew up in the movement. My daughter is very good, very descriptive, very empathic, and can read people very well. And for those of you who know Paula, you love her just as much as I do. But when she began to work in Starbucks and in Victoria's Secret and as a manager in a shoe store. Now she's in doing social work stuff, but she would be so frustrated because she would come home and say, "Damn, I'm never helping another blind person, man." And then she would tell me what happened. And I think I'm guilty of it. When I was in the NFB, I was extremely hardcore. Leave me alone. Don't mess with me. You're in my way. I can do it myself. And that really hurts us in the long run. There's a way to be independent. And sometimes, you know, my mom used to say, you get more with sugar than you do with vinegar. And while we want to be, you know, we get frustrated. We get tired of telling people, it's okay, I could do it myself. Yeah, I can. Do I need to? But I feel really badly because if Paula, with the experience that she's had being around all of us for these many years, came home with that attitude, just think what people who never have worked with a person who's blind think about us. And one is all. So if one of us is nice, then all blind people are nice. If one of us is an idiot, then all blind people are idiots. That's just human nature. It's what we do. So really, when I talked about kindness, I'm very serious to practice kindness. Kindness with ourselves, cut us ourselves some slack. Kindness with the community that maybe we know what we can do, but they don't. And so, yes, we need to be advocates and we need to teach them. And I will educate, advocate till I die. Probably on my deathbed, I'll be advocating and educating the nurses. And my announcement is that Active Blind Inland Valleys, California Council of the Blind, is selling CCB Happy Face portable fold-up grocery bags. They're very cute. They're awesome. People that have bought them have bought more. We have about 200 bags we'd really like to sell. They are one bag for $3 plus shipping, or two bags for $5 plus shipping. And you can email me at blind.lcsw@gmail.com, or my husband, Ed, at E as in Edward, P as in Paul, because that's his middle name, hence Paula, Crespin, E.P. Crespin at iCloud.com. Thank you.
All right. Someone in the 916 area code ending in 822. There you go.
Ah, there we go. Okay. I'd just like to say that not only does this pertain to us being blind, but I think it's in anything that you do in your life. It's really, you're going to get a lot more done by being polite and being diplomatic than you are by being rude. And I think that goes to anything that you do in your life. But especially, yeah, with us, the people, we do tend to be judgmental because we are human and we're not perfect. So we really do need to be careful as to how we approach people, because they really don't know. And every person that you meet in your life is going to be a first. There's always going to be a first time where you'll come across someone in your life that will want to know, and they'll want to know, you know, how do you do these things when you can't see? And so it's a perfect opportunity. We're kind of like missionaries, you know, we're constantly talking to people. So it's really important that we are patient about it, and that we're kind to those who really honestly want to know. Thank you.
I see Jeff in the panel with his hand raised. So, Jeff?
Oh, did I get muted? I hope so.
Nope, you're good. You're good. Jeff.
There you are. Now you are. Did you want to comment, Jeff? You had your hand raised.
Yes. I'm unmuted, right?
Yeah, you are.
Yep.
Yeah, you are. And don't raise your hand. You're in the panel. It's too hard.
No, I'm not in this panel.
Oh, well,
we have you up in the panel that yeah. Zoom, even oh, no matter
okay. I'll move you then. If you're not in the next, I thought you were in the next panel, right?
No, I'm not. No,
okay,
no.
Then I'm going to move
so,
you.
So, anyway, so I was a shy graduate school student who was doing well in academically, but socially, I had an inferiority complex. I didn't think I was as good as my sighted peers. I really was introverted. And all of a sudden I got into the National Federation of the Blind and found all these mentors like, you know, Al Gill and George Callis and others who were mentioned last night. And I realized, you know, hey, I'm not half bad. And so the blindness movement gave me the self-worth and the self esteem that I probably would never have had otherwise. I would never have gone on to be a manager and mentor to sighted attorneys and to have provided the service I did in the legislative arena had I not achieved that level of self-esteem because of my fellow blind role models. And that's why I give back, because I could never have really achieved half of what I've done professionally or in any aspect of my life had it not been for the folks that I met early on. So that's what continues to motivate me to give back to this organization and to blind people in general.
Okay. Let's see. Are you ready to take over, Sheila?
Yes, ma'am, if you would like me to.
I would love you to. Sheila Young is going to be helping us with our Zoom this afternoon. And I see a hand over there. I'll move Jeff back to the audience and you'll be all good.
Okay.
Welcome, Sheila. Thank you.
Oh, you're very welcome. All right. You have a hand from somebody with the last 3042. You may unmute.
Hi, this is Patty, and I know I spoke earlier in the panel, but I wanted to say a really positive thing that I didn't get a chance to say, and that was that being in CCB, I've learned that sometimes what your passion, if it takes you over, you can do things almost effortlessly to influence people, because I wanted to do transcription. I used to work at a bank, and then I stopped and raised my two daughters, or started raising them. Yeah, I did raise them. Anyway, when I got finished, I wanted to go back to work, and I loved to do transcription, so I took a class in medical terminology, and I went to the college, and the teacher said, well, there are going to be safety issues here. And I thought, what? And so I went to my disabled services person, and I said, he doesn't want me in the class. And she said, you're going to have to call the dean. So I called the dean, and she listened to what I had to say, and she said, you need to be a trailblazer, and I'm going to talk to him. And in fact, she laughed and said, what were you going to be doing, throwing knives? And then I got into the class, and then I went to a creative writing class, and I really wanted to be in it. And the teacher said, you can't be in this class because you're going to have to read 4 books. And I thought, well, I don't have a reader, and I don't have money to pay a reader, but I'm not going to quit the class. And in each instance, I stayed for the rest of the class, and she gave us a writing assignment. And by the time that we were done writing and we all read our selection, she came over to my desk and she said, "It's an honor to have you in my class." She said, "You just presented all these images," and I'm not trying to toot my own horn, but you know, then not only did I get that benefit and that, you know, really blessing, but then I made a friend that very class time, and she let me buy the books, and because she couldn't afford them, and in exchange, because I let her keep them after we were done, she read all of our assignments for me, and we became friends. So, I don't know, I just wanted to share that. Thank you.
All right.
Very cool.
With the last 3155, you may unmute.
Hello, this is Roger again.
Hey, Roger again?
Roger again, yeah. I just wanted to had a comment for Christy, which is that there's another reason why you don't want to snap at someone who wants to help you, and that is that I found that the surest way of telling somebody to leave you alone is the surest way to run into a wall. Is you say, "Leave me alone, I'm going, I know where I'm going," and that wall just comes right out in front of you. I don't know how that works exactly, but boy, it sure does seem. And then you feel like you really did need help.
The wall gets revenge.
The wall gets revenge. Bum, 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 bum. Thank you, Roger. I think we have enough time to probably take one or two more. Sheila, do you have any other hands?
You have no more hands raised. No.
No more hands. Anyone else up on our panel that would like to talk about their feelings about CCB and their one word to describe?
And I am sorry, Linda just raised her hand. So Linda.
Thank you, Linda.
You may unmute.
Which of the three Lindas?
I have no idea. Whoever had their hand raised, there's only one hand up. So,
does it just say Linda or?
Yeah, it just says Linda.
All right. If your name is Linda.
Linda, you may unmute.
Zoom webinar. Lower hand button.
Hi, everybody.
Yay.
Yay. Hey, Linda.
It's the San Francisco Linda. Okay. You know, CCB for me was a place to land, initially was a place to land when I moved here in 2005. I was like, oh no, how am I going to meet people? How am I going to get a job, a late in life job? All these questions. I walked into the San Francisco chapter meeting in September of 2005. And not only did I find a family, I found opportunities to grow and develop my leadership skills. You know, I walked in the door in September, and by November of the following year, I was elected chapter president. Who knew? So since then, with the initial mentorship of my dear departed Winifred Downing, I made my way in the state organization and came to where I am today, able to help out in any way I can. I'm currently the secretary of the state organization. Most people know me and know my opinions, including my political ones. And I love my CCB family and wouldn't have it any other way.
I just really love the way people just take ownership of CCB. It is just awesome because it is. It is our organization, and we make of this organization what we need to make of it. Any more hands?
So many other things in life, right, Guillermo, that you get out of it what you put into it?
Exactly.
No, sir, there are no more hands.
No more hands. Anybody else up on our panel want to share? Well, Sheila, do you want to give a plug for your stuff you have going on since we have a couple minutes here? I'll let you do give a shameless plug if you'd like.
Well, I am president of the Florida Council of the Blind, and our first ever hybrid state convention is starting next Friday, and we are doing it via Zoom and in person at the hotel, and Tuesday night is our auction, but that is on Zoom, and it will be on ACB Radio. So we're getting nervous and excited, but once again, Florida is going to be the first one to try something new. So.
And we will all be listening.
That's right. What I'm afraid of.
And people register still.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're extended the registration for tomorrow. So you can go to fcb.org, and it's $25 to register. You will be put in a door prize bucket, and we'll get the Zoom invites for all of our meetings, and it looks like it's going to be a pretty full weekend, so we're very excited, but very nervous. So,
you guys will do great. And that was fcb.org, you said, right, Sheila?
Yes. Florida Council of the Blind. Yeah. It's fcb.org.
Awesome.
Thank you. Sheila. Thanks for letting me. Thanks. I appreciate that.
Oh, absolutely. We all got to help each other out, you know?
And that's thank you for sure. Your help here this weekend, or today,
yeah.
This weekend.
Not a problem.
All right. And you know what? We got a couple of minutes here. Lisa, are you around to give a door prize?
Sure, I can make that happen. So we're doing another $25 Amazon gift card donated by the Golden Gate chapter. And the winner is Debbie Cordero.
Yay, Debbie.
Yay. Woohoo. Awesome. Congratulations, Debbie. Enjoy. All right. Well, I want to thank everyone that has taken the time to comment here today and, you know, really speak from your heart. If you think of something and maybe you didn't want to, you know, say it here, you can always reach out to Guillermo and I. We're, you know, we really want to know. We want to hear, you know, what folks have to say about our great CCB. So without further ado, let's see, what time are we at? We are at 12:57 and 53 seconds. I think that we can go ahead and kind of start rolling in. And so I don't know if we want to, do we need to do a stream switcheroony, Deb?
I think they may be already doing that. I'm not sure. But we do have enough time to say thank you so much to Tyson Ernst. Tyson has been with ACB for a little while and has taken on a lot of other chores besides just streaming. But he was nice enough to stream, and this is not even necessarily his particular state affiliate, but that's what's cool about streamers. They'll say, what do you need? When do you need me? And it doesn't matter. And Tyson was here for 4 hours, and he'll be with us again tomorrow, again for 4 hours from 9 to 1. So Tyson, we want to say thank you very much. And you added a ton with your professionalism. Thank you very much.
You're very welcome. And it was very much my pleasure.
Cool.
And I miss California a lot.
Yeah, I know, because you lived here for quite a while, didn't you?
I lived there. I lived in the Antelope Valley, Palmdale, Lancaster for 48 years.
Wow.
Oh, wow. You're welcome. You're welcome to come visit anytime you like, Tyson.
I would love to move back there if I can afford it.
Oh, that's great.
So Deb Lewis is going to be, not only has she been on the phones and been our coordinator for CCB, convention coordinator, she handles the Zoom things, and she's also going to handle streaming for us for the next 4.5 hours. So, Deb, if you're ready, then we can make the switch. Okay.